This is program number 15, Warren Township.
Program number 15, Warren Township.
The Alpha Omega Chapter, Alpha Delta State, of the Delta Kappa Gamma Society International, an honorary women educators group, in cooperation with the Martha Holden Jennings Foundation, presents a brief history of Warren Township and its schools. Into this territory in 1798 came General Perkins, surveying the Western Reserve. In his party were Ephraim Quinby, William Fenton, John Lovett, and Phineas Lettingwell, all of whom were early proprietors in Warren. And the next year, the first permanent settlement in this township was made in what is now Warren, although a white hunter called Old Merriman lived there before that time. Around 1800, there were only two cabins, one belonging to Ephraim Quinby and the other to William Fenton. Quinby was an important man in those days. He was the first purchaser buying both sides of the Mahoning. He laid out the original town of Warren in 1801, was proprietor of the town, and later judge of the court. Ohio was not yet a state, but was a part of the Northwest Territory, as all the area north and west of the Ohio River was called. General Arthur St. Clair was the governor, and in 1800, he placed all of the Western Reserve in Trumbull County, which was one of the seven original counties of Ohio, and named appropriately enough for Governor Trumbull of Connecticut. By this time, the danger from Indians in this region had largely passed, and settlers rapidly flocked here. Among the early comers was John Lovett, of the first well-known family of pioneers, and a member of the Connecticut Land Company. Lovett came here in 1800 with his wife and seven children. His house was on the west side of what is now Main Street, near the present location of the Erie Station. It later became a house for public entertainment. In 1801, the newly organized county court ordered townships organized according to the act of the second legislature of the territory northwest of the Ohio River. Warren Township was, therefore, organized by a meeting of all the voters at the home of Ephraim Quinby on April 6, 1802. We read almost with reverence from the original records still on file in the office of the township clerk, records written in clear, beautiful handwriting with the indelible ink and quill pen used in those days, now a century and a half gone by. A. Lovett was chosen in every election up to 1818, and John Lovett was elected as trustee in 1830 and as head supervisor as late as 1843. Levittsburg was named for Enoch Lovett, who in 1802 settled on a 1,000-acre tract where the little village now stands. We do not know just when the name Levittsburg was first applied to the settlement, but we first find it in the township records in 1821. It was only the construction of the first railroad that it became large enough to be called a village. Levittsburg, too, originally had a public square just a little east of the present village. Somehow it became lost, but was partly restored in the Memorial Park. The first school building in the Western Reserve was in a little house of hewn chestnut logs built on the east bank of the river opposite the public square in Warren, on the spot where in 1938, an exact replica of the original was dedicated and is still used for public functions. George Parsons was the teacher of that school, the same Parsons who in 1834 became the first mayor of Warren and in 1845 the first president of the new Western Reserve Bank. Shortly after this, a frame building was erected just north of the first log building. The first window lights in these early buildings were only greased paper. These pupils sat on benches facing the walls. Very little was taught in these schools besides reading, writing, and arithmetic, or the three R's as these subjects have been called. But these met the needs of the early times fairly well. From the earliest days, moreover, these schools were real community centers, and many public discussions and debates took place during the long winter evenings with religion as the first topic. Until 1820, all of these schools depended entirely on local support. In fact, it was up to the local district whether it had any school or not. In 1825, however, Ohio passed a law requiring the establishment of schools and levying a half-mill tax for school purposes. The next year, in 1826, the trustees divided Warren Township into six districts, and later there were more districts. These included the east half of Lordstown and that part of Champion which is inhabited. This was the beginning of the district schools, of which we are to hear so much throughout the rest of the century. The families of Levitt, Leffingwell, and Austin were included in number six, which was the number of the Levittsburg district for the next 75 years. The increase in population made it necessary to establish more district schools. In 1847, there were 17 school districts. Until 1853, the schools were under the control of the trustees. That year, Ohio passed a law making an entirely new school system, providing for local boards of education and separate taxes for school purposes. Almost the only subjects taught during the middle of the century were the same three R's we have found mentioned as required for apprentices in the indenture agreements. Just before the Civil War, a great many German people settled in the township, and there arose a demand for the teaching of German. In 1860, a special teacher was hired for 2 months to teach German in District Number 7 at a total cost of $7. A great deal has been written and spoken concerning the district schools of the 19th century. Ours were pretty much the same as the traditional schools common to both New England and its western settlements. The recitation benches, the water bucket, and the common dipper, round stove in the center of the room, often with its fire pot dangerously cracked and ringed with drying mittens and footwear of hardy youngsters who had fought the elements for a mile or two in that day, when school buses were a luxury yet undreamed. These were a part of that typical school of our great-grandfathers. The building, whether of logs, boards, or brick, was usually a one-room structure which may or may not have had a separate cloakroom. The better equipped usually had a tiny belfry and bell, but the typical district school depended on signals from a hand clapper bell shaken vigorously by the teacher in the doorway. Such a building, for example, was erected by the Warren Township Board of Education in 1876 at a cost of $525. Perhaps of no other age may it be as truly said that the school was just as good or as bad as its teacher. This is not surprising since this official, whether man or woman, had no professional requirements except a certificate, had no one to turn to in case of need, and had usually an upgraded group of from 10 to 50 youths of age ranging from 6 to the 20s, requiring a minimum of 20 or 30 recitations a day. From the earliest times, some kind of examination was required of school teachers. Back in the Civil War days, such examinations were held for all Trumbull County teachers at our county courthouse. Sometimes these were pretty rigid. On one occasion, only 21 out of 51 applicants passed, and we read that a wholesome alarm has been awakened among the teachers by the stringency of the examinations. Perhaps we can better understand the conditions of teacher qualifications by reading this announcement by Whittlesey Adams of Warren, which appeared in the Western Reserve Chronicle on August 26, 1863, following a schedule of such examinations. Applicants will bring slates. No textbook or atlas can be consulted by applicants during any examination. Each applicant will be required to pay 8 cents for postage and revenue stamps. In order to elevate the standard of qualification, it will be the policy of the board not to grant certificates of long duration except to applicants who prove themselves thoroughly qualified and to reject entirely those who cannot pass a satisfactory examination as required by the 45th section of the school law. In those days, when teachers were left entirely to their own resources, it was a most important forward step when the more progressive among the teachers and the boards of education conceived the idea of holding group meetings to discuss common problems. Such a meeting was held for all Warren Township teachers in the high school room at Leavittsburg, August 29, 1892. Such meetings came to be established on a countywide scale and were known as teachers' institutes. The ideas and inspiration emanating from these meetings indirectly benefited thousands of boys and girls when your parents and grandparents were children.